Let's start off at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The name of the teaching is the deception of darkness. Hallelujah. You know, we got to understand something, that Jesus, who was God, came here to what? Reveal darkness, didn't he? I mean, if you think about the things that he was speaking about, of course, was the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. He was revealing not only the kingdom of light, but he was revealing the kingdom of darkness. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to start at verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Hallelujah. And let's read this together, okay? Is everybody there?
Amen.
Praise be to God. Therefore, is everybody there? Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That seems to have revelation. Right from the Matrix movie itself. Amen? So we're seeing here that God himself, through the Apostle Paul, is speaking to the church of believers, isn't he? Remember that these epistles, remember that these letters are known as epistles. And what they are is written letters from Paul to the churches, who were spirit-filled churches, and they were believers. And what was he trying to do? He was trying to bring them counsel, correction, and direction. Sometimes warning, sometimes encouragement, but most of his letters were a representation of warning and encouragement. So we see here in this verses between 16 and 18 that he tells us that there is a realm that is unseen, which represents an eternal realm, and there is a realm that is seen, which is a temporary realm. And we know that everything that you and I see is temporary. You know, when I first had my encounter with the Lord and I was saved, and this scripture was given to me, I realized that everything I see is temporary. I mean, I used to come home and go, man, this is only temporary. This building is temporary. One day it's going to be wiped out.
Amen.
You know, I look at people and go, man, you know, you're only temporary. I look in the mirror and go, you know, I'm only temporary, you know. And because from the fall in the Garden of Eden, everything from that point on was temporary. Everything led to death because Satan, who is the ruler of this world, when he became ruler, everything led to death now. God doesn't create something just for it to die, does he? No. But what happened at that period of time when Adam and Eve fell, everything fell, because they were the rulers of the eternal realm. They were the rulers of the earth. So that's why I shared with everybody before about when you and I bite an apple now, it turns brown, because everything is dying. Everything is decaying, isn't there? Let's go to John 8. Hallelujah. John chapter 8. So we see that there's two realms, a temporary realm and an eternal realm. And the realm that you and I see is temporary, but the realm that is not seen is an eternal realm. Amen?
I did a little thing just experimenting. You know how they say you cut a potato or you slice an apple and you put it in water, it's not supposed to turn brown. So what I did, I bit an apple and I put it in the water, cold water, but it still turned brown.
Amen. It's going to decay no matter what, isn't it? So if you bite an apple, it's gonna decay. Even if you don't bite the apple, it's still going to get decayed. Amen. In John chapter 8, in verse 21, and it says, then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? Of course, you got to understand they're looking in the carnal, aren't they? And he said to them, you are from beneath, and I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Jesus was expressing two realms, wasn't He?
Yes.
He was expressing the realm of the natural realm, but He said, because of that, you are from what? Beneath. But I am from above. Why? Because the natural realm now, the ruler of it is Satan, and his realm, his throne room is beneath. Amen? And the kingdom of light, or the kingdom of God, is the realm which is from above, isn't it? So we see Jesus here testifies also of the two specific realms. Amen? Now go to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. That's right. That's why Jesus said, and Satan has nothing in me. Ephesians chapter 6. Hallelujah. We're going to hear this scripture over and over and over. We need to get it in your, you know, we need to get it in our spirit. Because the whole thing is, we lose sight of the other side, don't we? You know that video that everybody sees that gets that free video, the main core of that is you can't fight what you can't see. You know, it brings revelation afterwards. When we send that video out to people, we get calls. I know they got it when they tell me, you know what? I couldn't fight what I couldn't see. So I know that the seed, that revelation seed was imparted in them, that their fight is not carnal. Amen? And in Ephesians 6:10, and it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Amen? Not in yourself. Strong in the Lord. And in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That means trickery of the devil. And we're not going to teach you about the full armor of God. But you and I are to put the full armor of God on so that we can stand against the trickery of the devil.
Amen.
So Paul is being warned, and he's writing this letter to the believers. He's saying, listen, you need to put on the full armor of God so that you don't bite the bait of Satan. Amen? And then he explains it. He says in verse 12, he says, for we do not wrestle or fight against flesh and blood. Now he's bringing that understanding of the natural realm. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Amen?
Amen.
So we see we're not fighting flesh and blood. In other words, when a brother or something happens, somebody comes against you in any way, if it's not correction in love, it's accusation, isn't it?
Amen.
Well, man, you do this. Well, man, you do that. You know, the devil, the voice of the stranger is always going to be there. And you're going to find out, even in relationships, when you're married and you're with your wife, and you come home, and you know, your wife has had a rough few days, and God is expecting us to help, isn't He? Did you ever walk by something and leave it there? And the voice will come to you and say, man, they left it there, let them pick it up.
Amen.
You know, God is testing us, because that's the voice of the stranger. Amen?
Amen?
And the Lord is saying, you pick it up. Now you come in the house a couple days, and you're seeing something being laid here and being laid there. Now the voice of the stranger is telling you, man, she never does anything right. Man, I'm always picking up after her. I always got, next thing you know, you see her, you know what happens? You shoot out your mouth. You know, when my wife and I, when we're getting together, and there's an irritation in the house, and it doesn't mean that we don't speak it, but we can feel an irritation in the house. We look at each other and we go, devil in the house. We touch and agree, we grab each other's hand, we come against the powers of darkness, we command those spirits to leave, and we welcome the presence of God. And you know what? It's gone. It's gone. Because you know what happens? We lose sight that we're not fighting flesh and blood.
Amen.
And the next thing we're doing is we're accusing one another. Well, man, then you know what? You let the devil in. No, you let the devil in. That thing you got to understand, the devil's still there. Amen? Amen. While you're arguing. And then what happens is the devil gets fed because you're speaking him there.
Amen.
See, the manifestation of the presence of God is by you praising, worshiping, and speaking the Lord, speaking the Word, right? Well, there's these two reservoirs that we talked about. There's the reservoir of the Lord and the reservoir of the devil. which are two canisters, containers, that are holding God's presence, God's word, or the devil's presence and the devil's word. What you speak will manifest. See, what you speak will manifest the devil, and he turns around and kicks your butt. Which what you speak can manifest the Lord, and he turns around and kicks the devil's butt. Amen? Yeah, Jimmy. Go ahead. Amen. And understand this. We're on, the earth is leased to Satan. God owns it. But the ruler is Satan. So we're on his ground. Amen. So when you're on somebody else's property, your fight isn't so easy, is it? So because we're on his property, now we've claimed this ground at this ministry, holy ground. Our fight isn't going to be as bad, is it? But when you get out there, it gets rough. Not that God is not allowing certain things to deal with you as a person, and not that we're still not getting rid of these spirits that have been surfing us for a long time. And that's what I call it. And when the guys come in, I say, man, you need to shake those spirits off that have been surfing you, because they love to surf us. Amen. Praise God. So we must understand that the trickery of the devil is there, always wanting to place a bait for me and you. And if we bite that bait, what happens is we begin to speak it, he manifests and he turns around and kicks our butt. Amen? Turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. Is everybody getting revelation today? Getting understanding? 1 John chapter 3. You know, it's just like when God is trying to reveal his love to me and you. And he's always trying to get something to us, isn't he? Mm-hmm. But the devil's always trying to keep separation between you and God so you don't know who you are. And you don't know who you are in Christ. Then he keeps you in that state of me, 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 me. And then we walk in that mentality of the carnal man. And you know, some of us have come from a background of abuse. Some of us have been trampled over. We've come to the mentality that we need to take whatever we can get, or else it might be taken from us. You know, when we've lost everything, man, I better take and take as much as I can get, or else it's going to be taken from me. It may not come around again. Amen? Amen? But see, when you're in Christ, we need to lose that mentality and know that God is our supplier of all of our needs according to his riches and glory. That it's no longer we that are having to fight, but it's Christ who's fought for us and bringing things to us. See, because the devil wants to keep us in the natural realm, doesn't he? Amen? In 1 John, in chapter 3, and in verse 7, let's read this together. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is what? Of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Does everybody get that? So the Son of God was truly manifested to reveal Satan to me and you. Do you know how many places? Now, I'm not speaking against places, but I've got to share truth. How many times, you know, we have been at places and they don't want to talk about the devil. They don't want to talk. They want to just talk about the goodness of God. But Jesus didn't come and just talk about his goodness. He came and talked about the devil. In fact, a third of his ministry was casting out demons. But see, you know, the devil doesn't want us to know those things, does he? He wants to candy coat who God is. Oh, he's love. Oh, he's... And you know what that does? It puts us in the soulish realm instead of the realm of the spirit. You know how many times people, you know, like even in the services, especially when we minister in the jail, if somebody's getting touched by the Lord and they're on their knees crying, other guys want to run to him and comfort him. And I tell them, do not touch him, because God is dealing with that individual. And what will happen is when you go touch him and try and comfort him, you quench the Holy Spirit on him. And he loses sight of God and puts his sight on man.
Amen.
Amen. So when you see somebody weeping and crying, you better make sure you're being led by the Lord to go comfort that individual, because it's a time for comfort. Or else that turns into soulish ministry, and what you've done is the devil has used you in the soulish realm to go quench the Spirit of God off of somebody. Amen?
Amen.
And you know what? Let me tell you something. We must learn these things. What you're being taught here is officers' positions. You understand that? You're being taught officers' positions. You're going to be taught how to counsel people. You're going to be taught how to hear the voice of God and know the discernment between soulish ministry and spirit ministry. You're going to learn the difference between the spirit of error and the spirit of truth. Why? Because God is fulfilling an office for you. You may look in a mirror and go, me? Just like the dude in that movie, Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
He kept saying, I'm not the one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell each and every one of you in here, every one of you is the one. You might not know it yet. You might not understand it yet. But it's going to happen. Every one of you in here is the one. And to God be the glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, the devil's got a lot of callings. He's been called many things. And I want to share a couple of his names, all right, so that we know. Let's go to Matthew 12. In Matthew 12. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. In Matthew 12, and verse, hallelujah. Let's go to verse 22. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Then one was brought to him, Jesus, who was demon-possessed, blind and mute. And Jesus healed him, so that the blind and the mute man both spoke and saw. So what? Now listen to this, watch this. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. That was a representation of Satan. Amen?
Beelzebub.
Yes. And I have a teaching about Satan's names, and I'm not going to go into it right now. And let's go on to verse 25. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to destruction, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. Let me share something with you. The devil wants to bring division in your own house so that you can't stand. Does everybody get it? So do you think that the devil wants to bring division in the discipleship house?
Amen. Of course.
Do you think he might want to use any one of us at any time to bring division?
Amen.
Amen. So see, now we got to know these things, don't we? Because he wants to bring division. Division started in the Garden of Eden. And you know what? Mankind fell, didn't it? The house fell. But God had a way of escape, didn't he?
Amen.
So Beelzebub is a representation of the prince of demons. Amen. He was known as the ruler of demons. Let's go to Revelation 12. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Revelation 12, praise be to God. And verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan. So we see they're all one, aren't they? Who deceives the whole world. That sounds familiar. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the what? Accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, that they did not love their lives to the death. The blood, the testimony, and denying yourself. That's how they overcame, didn't they? Now we see, what was the devil called here? The accuser of who? The brethren. So do you understand that you're taking heed of the voice of the stranger when you begin to accuse your brethren? In other words, what happens is we begin to criticize, accuse, Amen? We're taking heed of his voice, aren't we? And see, we got to know. Remember I share with you, Jimmy asked, well, how do you know when the voice of the stranger is speaking to us? How do we know the difference? Well, we know it by its fruits. Its fruits are what is the action going to be? What is the outcome of it? Because the Holy Spirit will tell us things to come. Is it edifying Christ? Is it edifying a brother? Is it bringing encouragement? There's a difference between correction and accusation. Amen? There's a difference between correction and accusation. Is everybody with me? In fact, let's go to Ephesians. Yes. Oh, okay.
But what I was trying to say when I was coming was, how can you not know this talking? Because, I mean, the fruit, I mean, all of us know good. I mean, if we had anything to do with Christ, through Christ, in kind of fact, in our lifetime, we know good and evil.
Yes.
And because of
the fruit, we were brought up knowing good and evil.
Because of the fruit, I mean, how can you not know what? That's what I was trying to get.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't able to finish what I was saying.
Oh, all right. Praise God. And how can we not know? Well, you know what? Because we were born with the tree of knowledge of good and evil in us. So we do know what good and evil is. But we didn't know what righteousness was. We looked at righteousness as self-righteousness. When somebody was righteous, we accused them of being self-righteous. Because the world doesn't know what righteousness is, but it knows what good and evil is. But even with that, we could still tell, couldn't we? Amen? Praise God. Let's go to Galatians, I'm sorry. Galatians 5. In Galatians 5, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Galatians 5. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Good. Okay, let's go to verse 22. Let's read this together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Let's continue. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, and envying one another. Those are fruits of the Spirit. Amen? This is how things that we can tell. Is what you're going to speak provoke someone?
Mm-hmm.
No, we want to provoke someone to good. Amen? Not to provoke them into a stumbling block. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Remember, you can't fight what you can't see. But see, if you know what you're fighting, you can see now, can't you?
Amen.
Amen? Hallelujah. In 1 Peter chapter 5, and let's see where we're going to start here. Praise be to God. 1 Peter 5, and verse 6. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So we must humble ourselves. In other words, submit. And humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God is humbling yourself and submitting yourself to all things of God. Somebody get that? And verse 7, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Excuse me. Thank you. So we see that the lion, the devil, is walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now I want to give you understanding. It doesn't say that he's devouring the individual. It says he's walking around as a roaring lion. Now, I want you to look at the devil as an ant with a big megaphone. Anybody ever see the Blues Brothers? Remember that big thing they had on the top? Well, the devil walks around like that because the Bible says the devil can't touch you unless you allow him. So the only way he's going to touch you is if you allow those darts to affect you. Do you understand that? That's the only way. So see, he doesn't have access to you unless you let him have access to you. So he's nothing but an ant with a big megaphone. He's going, yo, up there, hey, you. You remember me? Don't you remember what you did yesterday? Don't you remember that nobody loves you? Don't you remember? You know, he's always bringing us to the things we've done. And then what he does is, yeah, well, now you know what's going to happen? Now he brings you to the future of things. You know what I'm saying? And then he brings you to the present. Woe is me. Man, you just ain't no good. You know, you might as well just kill yourself. Come on, when we were out there serving the devil, that thought of killing ourselves was more than one.
Oh, yeah.
Amen, because he wanted to wipe us out. You know how many people commit suicide because they listen to the voice of the stranger?
Yeah.
Amen? Mm-hmm. Praise be to God. So we see that this is the voice of the stranger. Go to verse 9. Now it says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So you're not the only one going through it. So when he tries to tell you, you're the only one. Why me, Lord? Why am I the only one? It's because you're listening to the voice of the stranger. In verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Amen. Does everybody get it? Hey, you're not the only one going through it. But as you go through it, you'll find that God will establish you because you're what? Standing. You're not going back.
Amen.
Listen, we have a tendency. Remember, there is a war going on. The war is not going to end until Satan is bound for 1,000 years. So every day there is a battle. You know, in wars like World War I and World War II, there were battles going on every day, weren't there? Well, every day in your life is a battle. Now, if we lose that battle, don't run to the flesh.
Amen.
We have a tendency of losing the spiritual battle by giving in, by going and feeding ourselves with the flesh for satisfaction. Does everybody understand that? A battle is not lost, okay, just because you gave in. A battle is won even if you gave in and you get up and shake the dust off and continue to go. That means you didn't lose the battle. You just got knocked down. Amen? A battle is lost when we go back to the flesh. Amen? That's when the battle is lost. When we go back and feed off of it. That's when the battle is lost. But it's not lost because we can always get up again. So when we lose a spiritual battle at that point, we shake the dust off. And we get up, and that brings victory, doesn't it? See, you might have thought you lost the war. You lost some battles. But you have victory now, don't you?
Amen.
Because you've gotten up and shaken the dust off.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
And the victory and the glory belongs to Jesus. But you have victory in Christ because you've shaken it off. And you've got up. And now you're pursuing the right course. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's go to, yes, go ahead. Yes, verse 9.
They were saying that brotherhood in the world.
Amen. Resist them steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Meaning who? Believers that are in the rest of the world.
Oh, the believers.
Yes, those are your brothers.
Okay.
Remember Jesus said, my mothers and brothers are and sisters are those who do the will of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew 6.
Those are our brothers.
Right.
Matthew
6. Well, I say that to everybody. You know, I truly believe, like I said, if you were to put a bunch of dots up on the board, when I had my encounter with the Lord, and those dots represented all men, regardless of saved and unsaved, when I had my encounter with the Lord, all those dots were connected. Does everybody get it? Because those dots were connected when I had my encounter with the Lord, because even the unbelievers, they don't know it yet, but they're still our brothers and sisters, but they just don't know it. But what was being talked about in this was to the church of the brotherhood in the world. Amen. But you know what? When I had my encounter with the Lord, I looked at all the people that were lost as brothers and sisters, but they just didn't know it. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. In Matthew 6, let's see here. And in, okay, in verse 13, let's read it together. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the Ah, who's the evil one?
Satan.
Amen. Does everybody get it? Now he says, he's the evil one, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we see that Satan here was called the evil one. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Deception of darkness. You can't fight what you can't see. And you're not fighting flesh and blood. Oh man, we get sucked up so many times into being concerned. You know, like people's bosses at their jobs. Man, my boss is riding me. He's doing this, he's doing that. That ain't your boss. That's a demon that's coming after you through your boss. Now you need to go home and do spiritual warfare and start praying for this man and love him, because the devil hates love. You know, but what we want to do, our natural realm, our carnal mind says, man, why don't you tell him exactly what you think? And that's what the devil wants you to do, is speak what you think, because he's feeding you, isn't he? So if you can speak what you're thinking, he manifests. And what he does is he puts wood on the fire to cause more trouble, doesn't he? Remember, in Genesis in chapter 3, in verse 1, it says that the devil is the most cunning beast God created. The most cunning. So when we thought we were out there conning, we were the ones being used. We were the ones being conned, weren't we? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 3 and 4. Everybody there? Let's read this together. Verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, which means blinded, covered up, it is veiled to those who are perishing. So can the gospel be veiled to me and you even though we're a believer?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
We could not know something, right? That's trying to rescue us. Some knowledge or information is trying to rescue us. Amen. Remember, I share with you, some places do not preach the baptism of the Holy Spirit, do they?
Yeah.
And that's where we need to have the power. Well, because of that, these people are having a struggle, aren't they? Their fight is a lot harder.
Amen.
Amen? And some of them gone back and perished because they did not have the power, did they?
Amen.
Amen? Praise God. Let's go on. In verse 4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Now, who's the God of this age?
Satan.
Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So they don't believe, do they?
No.
Now the Bible says light overcomes darkness. In fact, darkness can't comprehend light. So when somebody can't comprehend that, that means that there's darkness there. Does everybody get it?
Mm-hmm.
When somebody can't comprehend something of that area, that means darkness is there. But light needs to shine. Did you ever hear of people saying, like the light bulb, you remember cartoons or whatever? You'd see a light bulb go off over their head. Bing! You know, well, that was light. That was a representation of light. In fact, many of us today, even by watching that video and discussing it, light has shined in an area where we were blinded. Amen? And has brought revelation, knowledge to us, which is a representation of a reality. And it's freed us from some things and made us go on another course. Because darkness will lead us to the wrong course, doesn't it? It's like going down a road and you're looking for a sign to tell you which way to turn. And when the light goes on, it tells you which way to turn. But if the light don't go on, you're still going down that other road. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's go to John 8. So we know Satan was called the God of this age, wasn't he?
Amen.
John chapter 8. Hallelujah. Big John. Gospel of John. Some of these scriptures you're going to hear over and over and over until it's imparted in your spirit. And you know that you know that you know. And eventually, when something occurs, the Holy Ghost is going to quicken you and say, wait a minute. You're not fighting flesh and blood. You're fighting powers of darkness. And you need to do spiritual warfare and not put wood on the fire. Hallelujah. In chapter 8 and verse 42. Hallelujah. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
Let's read this together. And Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Let's go on. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my words. Ooh, did you hear that? You're not able to understand him because you're not able to listen. Why? Because there is darkness there. Does everybody get it? There's darkness there. Let's go to verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now we know that here he's called the father of lies, isn't he? Praise be to God. Ephesians 2:2. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for bringing light in darkness and overtaking it. Ephesians 2:2. Is everybody there yet? Ephesians 2:2. So we see here that the devil has been called Beelzebub, prince of demons, accuser of the brethren, an adversary with a big mouth, the evil one, the god of this age, the father of lies, and a murderer. Amen? Ephesians 2:2. I guess we better start at verse 1. Amen? Let's read it together. And you he made alive. That means Jesus he made alive. And you, he's saying, Jesus made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, known as the Antichrist. Does everybody understand that? Every demon is under the rule of the Antichrist spirit. Amen? So we see here that he's called the prince of power of air. That's when we talked about the what? Rotten apple. When you bite it, it's decaying. Because he's the prince of power of air, isn't he? Amen? Praise be to God. Now let's turn to John 14. Amen. John 14. That means everything's decaying. Well, if he's known as the murderer, he's known as the prince of death, isn't he? In John chapter 14. Hallelujah. God's got a plan and we're in it and we're going to get revelation today. Praise be to God. John chapter 14 and verse 28. Everybody there? Hallelujah. Let's read it together. You have heard me say to you, I am going away, I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in who? In me. So we see who's known as the ruler of this world? Satan. And of course, he didn't have nothing in Jesus because Jesus' flesh was known as the Word of God. Jesus' flesh was not of this world. Amen. Praise be to God. All right. I want to share three things that is very important. Number one, the devil doesn't want you to believe he exists, or that he is involved in your life. Does everybody get it? He does not want you to believe he exists or that he is involved in your life. I'm talking about in your everyday life. He doesn't want you to believe that he's involved in your problem. Why? So he can use you. Amen? The devil wants to be hidden, doesn't he? In fact, most of the time when you talk to somebody, and you see their fruits, because the Bible says you can tell the individual by their fruits. And you know what they'll say? If their fruits aren't so good, they're going to tell you, you know what? The devil ain't bothering me. Amen? the devil ain't bothering me. What do you mean? What's the problem? They're still cussing. They're still doing the things they shouldn't be doing. You can tell by the fruits. Why? Because the devil is hidden to them, isn't he? The devil is hidden to them. And they don't believe that the devil is involved in their life. At one time, we didn't want to believe the devil was involved in our life. Amen? And I want to give you some scriptures to back this up. Acts 5. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 5. And we've talked about this before in verse 1 through 5. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the feet of the apostles. But Peter said, Ananias, why has what? Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. So they didn't believe Satan was involved in their life, did they? They didn't recognize the difference between the voice of the Lord and the voice of Satan. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? In other words, you still had a choice to not lie, but to tell the truth about the possession. Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to who?
God.
And then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the same thing happened to his wife. So do you understand that here were two spirit-filled believers? That they had good intentions, didn't they? Those good intentions became a stumbling block because they listened to the voice of the stranger. And they lied to the Spirit of God because they said what they were going to do and they didn't do. That's all they had to do was confess and say, listen, we decided to hold back some of ourselves, but this is what we're going to give. That's all they had to do was be honest about it. And that's what God is asking me and you to do, is to be honest with Him in everything we do. Amen? The second thing the devil doesn't want you to do. Remember, the first thing he doesn't want you is to know that he's a part of your life every day. The second thing he doesn't want you to do is to know the truth of God's Word. Amen? If he can prevent you from and blind you from the truth of the gospel, that sets us on a different course, doesn't it? Just like we were just talking about, there are places where they don't want you to know the power of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, you know what their concern is? They lose control. Why? Because the devil is a representation of a controlling factor in their life. They want to control someone else's life. Amen? Well, here we want you to get it, and get out. Amen? But we don't want to send you out naked, do we? We don't want to send you out unarmed. We want to send you out with the power of the Spirit of God, with the full armor of God and the Holy Ghost bazooka. Amen? So that you can kick butt. Praise God. Now I want to bring you to a scripture on that, and it's Colossians 2. Colossians chapter 2. So he doesn't want you to know the truth of the Bible. Listen, the devil don't mind if you go to church. He don't mind if you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. No. It's when you become the threat to him, when you become the witness of Jesus, is when you become the threat to him. He don't mind if you sing in a choir or you're an usher. He don't care if you sit in a pew and even go to Bible studies. But when you begin to use and walk what you've learned, you become a threat to him.
Amen?
Amen? There is the difference. Let's go to Colossians. What did I say, chapter 2? Colossians chapter 2. Hallelujah. God's got a plan. We're in it, and he's bringing light into a dark area. In let's go to verse 13. And you, let's read this together, and you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Continue. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Verse 16. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival, or a new moon or a Sabbath. Verse 17, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of what? Christ. Christ. The substance is of what?
Christ.
Let's go on, verse 18. Let no one cheat you of your reward. What's your reward? Eternal life. Amen. Taking delight in false humility and worship of angels. Now listen, if you don't know the truth, you're going to begin to worship man and angels. You're going to be beginning to worship creation instead of creator. Amen. Intruding into those things which they have not seen, vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind. Does everybody get it? So you know what? You and I must know the truth of God's word. So the devil doesn't want you to know the truth. Number one, he doesn't want you to know that he's involved in your life every single day. Number two, he doesn't want you to know the truth of the word so he can bind you to religion and traditions of men. And number three, he doesn't want you to pray or seek for yourself. He doesn't want you to pray or seek for yourself. Amen? He doesn't want you to pray or seek for yourself. Let's go to Matthew 26. For yourself. He does not want you to pray or seek for yourself. And if you'll turn to Matthew 26. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 26. Is everybody there? Matthew 26 and verse 40. Yes, in verse 40. Matthew 26 and verse 40. Let's read this together. Then he came to the disciples and found them what? Sleeping, and said to Peter. In other words, he found them getting dozing off. He found them, what was he saying? Come on, wake up, man. Shake that sleepy spirit off you. And he said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? In verse 41, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now the spirit wants to seek, but the flesh is weak to the ways of who? Satan. Amen. So he's telling us, listen, if you're not praying and you're not seeking, you're going to fall into what? Temptation. Does everybody get it? If you're not praying, if you're not communing with God, and you're not listening to God, you're going to fall into temptation. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to Hosea 4:6. Praise be to God. Famous scripture. Like I said, a lot of these scriptures you're going to get over and over and over until it's a part of our life. Praise be to God. Hosea. Hosea 4:6. We'll know this scripture like the front of our hand. Hosea 4:6. Hosea 4:6. Praise be to God. And we certainly need to read this together, don't we? Hosea 4:6. Anybody got a page number? Okay. Hosea 4:6. Let's read this together. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Oh, man. Or lack of what? Truth. Lack of what? Truth. My people are destroyed for lack of truth. Because you have rejected my knowledge or truth, I also reject you from being priest for me. Why? Because your first office is called priesthood. Because you have forgotten the law of your God or forgotten the truth of your God, I also will forget your what? Children. That's why our children go astray, because we're not the example to them. Amen? So my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, three things. Another three things under this. Number one, he tempts us. You don't have to go there. In Matthew 4:1, we see that Jesus was tempted, wasn't he? In Matthew 4:1, we see Jesus was tempted, so he's going to tempt me and you, isn't he? So without lack of truth, if we don't have the truth, we're going to what? Bite the bait, aren't we? We're going to bite that bait every time without the truth. Does everybody get it?
Amen. That was
Matthew 4:1, he tempts. The devil tempts. Number two, he sows in me and you an unrighteous seed. This is how he destroys us. Do you understand that? He sows an unrighteous seed by an impression. And that's Matthew 13:39. And Matthew 13:39, he sows an unrighteous seed. 13:39. In fact, let's go there and read it quickly. Okay, so we see it. Matthew 13:39, he sows an unrighteous seed by an impression. Praise be to God. Yes, by impression. Matthew 13:39. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Okay. Praise be to God. Let's read this together. In verse 39, it says, the enemy who sowed them is the what?
The devil.
Amen. What did he sow? He sowed an unrighteous seed, didn't he? So understand that the devil is trying to sow unrighteous seeds in you. Amen. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. So we see that the enemy sows an unrighteous seed. Now go to Luke 8, and this is number 3. He steals the righteous seed. Does everybody get it? So what he wants to do is he wants to sow an unrighteous seed and steal the righteous seed. Amen? In Luke 8:12. I mean, he ain't stupid, is he? The Bible says he's the most cunning beast, so he can't be stupid. Luke 8:12. And you know, he's been around a long time, hasn't he? Amen. So he knows exactly how to... Man, he knows exactly. He knows exactly how to snare us, snag us, trick us. So in Luke 8, in verse 12, let's all read it together. Now, wait a minute. Let's start at verse 11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. In verse 12, those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe in what? Be saved. Remember, we talked about that already before. So we see that the devil wants to impart or sow in you an unrighteous seed, and he wants to steal the righteous seed from us. Amen? Now, what are we to do? What are we to do? And that's what we're going to talk about. There's a few things we're to do. Let's go to Acts 10. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Praise be to God. What are we to do? Hallelujah. Praise be to God. We're going to get more into all of this a little bit later. These are just, this teaching right here, deception of darkness, is a representation of a good foundation of understanding, bringing light to a dark area. We're going to get more into spiritual warfare and other things. The whole realm of this is to make sure that you understand that you're not fighting flesh and blood. And in every circumstance that you run across, you better understand that it's not flesh and blood that's bringing the circumstance. Amen? Okay. In Acts 10 and verse 38. Is everybody with me? Let's read it together. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by who? The devil, for God was with him. So you understand something, that you and I must have the anointing of the Holy Spirit to defeat the devil. Amen? We must have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And how did Jesus get it? He got baptized in the Holy Ghost, didn't he? Amen? That's why you and I must consistently seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit and maintain staying filled with God's Spirit. And that's through praise and worship. Amen? Hallelujah. Number two, so we must get the Holy Spirit and get the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And in 1 John chapter 2. Hallelujah. One was getting baptized and having the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Baptized in the Holy Ghost. In 1 John. Glory to God. Number one is acknowledging that Jesus was baptized and anointed with the Holy Spirit. You and I must be also. So that's something that we must seek. Does everybody understand that? In 1 John chapter 2 and verse... Let's see here. Praise be to God. Let's just look at something. Let's start at verse 18 so we get a little understanding. Let's read this together. Little children, it is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Is everybody hearing this? Let's go on. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Now, the Antichrist is representation of many Antichrists have come because of those yielding to those demons or deceiving spirits. Amen. Now, verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have what? Continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Do you understand that it's the spirit of Antichrist that's going to try and remove you? Hello? Okay. Now let's go to verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Do you understand that? So you must understand the anointing that's in your life. You must have relationship with the Holy Spirit, who is the anointing. You must have an understanding of Him, and you must maintain that understanding of Him. Does everybody get it? It's so important. It's just not about the letter. It's about the Spirit who brings life. So when you have an understanding of the anointing of your life and the Holy Spirit in your life, He's going to bring you to all truth. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Okay.
Knowing
and having the understanding of the Holy Spirit and the anointing. Not only, number one is you must seek it and get it. Number two, you must understand it. Paul shared with his children, he said, that you learn Christ and that you learn till Christ be formed in you. Amen. He even rebuked some of them because he said, you're still doing the things of the flesh because you've not learned Christ. So you and I must learn the anointing. Amen. Praise God. The third thing that we must do is in Ephesians 4:27. Ephesians 4:27. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. Amen. Is everybody there?
Amen.
It's a real simple one, isn't it? Now, amen. Well, let's we can start back a little bit. Let's start at verse 25. Everybody there?
Amen.
Therefore, putting away what?
Lying.
Let each one of you speak what? Truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Hello? We must not give place to the devil in thought, in word, and in deed. Amen?
Amen?
Don't give place to the devil. Number four. Don't give place to the devil. Number three, in thought, word, and in deed. Number four is in James 4. James chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. James chapter 4. And we'll have one more scripture and we'll close with that. Praise be to God. James chapter 4.
Amen.
James chapter 4.
Hallelujah.
In verse 7. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Let's read this together. James chapter 4 and verse 7.
Therefore,
submit to God. Now, what do we say submitting to God was? Submitting to godly authority, submitting to all the things of God. That's representation of submitting to God. Paul, when he preached, he said, listen, I hope that you understand, this is in common language, I hope that you understand that the things that are coming out of my mouth are not from me, but they are from God.
Amen.
Amen. And Paul is saying here in the book of James, submit to what? God. Godly authority. Submit to the word. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But if you're not going to submit to the things of God, you can't resist the devil, can you? That's why we still have troubles, don't we? Amen. Verse 8, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Ah, why? Because He calls you double-minded because you're not willing to submit. Amen. So you want to serve two masters. That's double-mindedness. See, we see the fourth thing is we must submit to God and all of His authority and the things He's put across us and His Word so that we can resist the devil. And the last and final one is in Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Hallelujah. Psalm 133. And the last and final one. So the first one is we must get the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We must understand and learn the anointing. Number two. And number three, we must not give place to the devil. And number four, we must submit to God and resist the devil. So number one, get the anointing. Number two, understand the anointing. Number three, don't give place to the devil. Number four, submit to God and resist the devil. And number five, maintain fellowship with true doers. Fellowship with true doers, not wannabes or maybes. Hello? You must maintain fellowship with true doers. Praise be to God. That's important to fellowship.
Amen.
And in Psalm 133, let's read it together. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Well, let me tell you, you're not going to be in unity if some of you are wanting to walk right and some of you aren't.
Amen.
If you're having fellowship with them.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Praise God. And verse 2. It is like precious oil upon the head. Now, oil represents what?
Anointing.
The Holy Spirit, the anointing. Hallelujah. So when you're in unity, where does it start? The anointing begins to change right from the mind. Amen. Running down on the beard of hearing, running down on the edge. What? Then your whole countenance begins to change. That's what's so important about fellowshipping and praising and worshiping God together.
Amen.
Amen. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the what? Man, do you understand that there's a blessing in maintaining this? And what is that blessing? Life forevermore. Deception of darkness. We must understand it, and we must maintain the understanding of it. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus on the seeds of this Word that was planted in us today. We curse every unrighteous seed that's been imparted in us in any way and command it to wither and die and loose us from those strongholds. And we plead the blood of Jesus on the righteous seeds. And we ask, Father, that You'll allow them to grow and bear fruit for Your glory. And Lord, we take this time right now and we repent before You and we say, forgive us for those things that we've done that have offended You in allowing Satan to steal the righteous seed and impart an unrighteous seed. Lord, forgive us for touching those things that are unclean in thought, word, and in deed. And we ask, Father, that You'll give us the strength to lay down our way to maintain unity in our house in Jesus' name. And we give You all the glory, Lord. We thank You, Holy Spirit. And we thank You, Daddy. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. And to God be the glory.